Well, good morning. It's so good to be back here, gathering as a church family. For those of you who know, we were at a retreat last week, and we were powerfully reminded of the power of the gospel. Dr. Lee from DTS brought us three topics of hope, sacrifice, and joy. And it was a great reminder for all ages to see the hope that we have in the Lord Jesus, the sacrifice of previous saints of the past, and the joy of following Jesus. So I'm praying that we not only be hearers of the word, but we be doers of the word. And so may we carry those messages into every aspect of life. Now, following on from retreat, today is a special Sunday as we have Gospel Sunday on the fifth week. And the good news is that Jesus Christ has come to save and transform us and give us new life. So today I've invited three of our brothers and sisters to come and share their testimonies with us. And they worship here in the English ministry, Victor, Yunsi, and Tina, and whose lives have been greatly impacted by the gospel. So today, we have this wonderful privilege and honor to hear from them, and not only to hear their stories, but for us to also reflect how God is working in our own lives. So without further ado, I'm going to invite our first guest, Victor Guan, to come, and let's give him a warm welcome. Let's get him up. Now with Victor, many of you don't know this, but he actually grew up at our church, and Victor's been great. And So this week I was actually digging up some old church records, and it took me a while, but I found it. He actually came to church with his family at around 1 year old in 2002. Okay, so pull it up, Kevin. I found this photo of, so you see his parents and his brother Jack, and Victor's the baby. He's a big baby, right, around 1 year old. In 2002, September 8th, was his first Sunday here at Home of Christ Church. So all those years, 24 years, you've been with us here, Victor, and it's a wonderful privilege and to get to know you. You don't know this, but before I came here at Home of Christ, one of the pastors already told me to keep an eye out for you because you have a heart of gold to love Jesus, even at a young age. And so it's wonderful that you're willing to come and share. And so just tell the congregation a little bit about yourself, your spiritual journey growing up at this church, at Home of Christ, and when you realized your faith needed to be your own.
Okay, so yeah, like Ben showed the picture. In the picture, yeah, I basically grew up from church almost since birth. I grew up at this Home of Christ one, and so basically this church has been my home. It's like my second home. And so growing up, I went to church with my parents because that's what we did as a family. Like, I was a Christian because my family was Christian. And not only did I just go to church just because my parents made me to go to church, I actually liked the activities at church. I liked the people there. And so when did I realize that I needed to make my faith my own? Yeah, it was during middle school, and I heard a message, I forget exactly where, but it said, God has no grandparents. And so it made me realize that my faith needed to be my own, that I couldn't just be called a Christian, that I couldn't just be called like a follower of God just because that's what my parents did, or that's what my family did, or my community did. So that's when I realized I needed to make my faith my own.
You actually echo a lot of our testimonies for kids who grew up at church. Could you briefly share, like, you had some doubts and struggles along the way and that led you to question your faith. How did those experiences affect your relationship with God?
Yeah, I think it was a combination of personal struggles and practical questions that led me to doubt my faith over time. Like, with personally, I struggled with being a Christian as I entered high school. As I went into high school, yeah, life got kind of busy, so it was hard for me to read the Bible. Over time, it got to the point where I was struggling to read like one verse a day because the Bible just seemed kind of boring or irrelevant, or I just didn't have the time or desire to read into it. Also, another thing was that it was difficult to see what exactly it meant to be a Christian, I knew I had to spread the gospel or something like that, but I didn't know what that actually meant. It seemed kind of difficult and abstract. Also, I had some practical questions that led to some doubts of my faith. One example being the story of Jonah and him being swallowed by the fish. It's just one example, but like I was just wondering, like, how could he survive in the belly of a fish without being dissolved by stomach acid? So that's just a practical question I had.
So what was the turning point then? Yeah, with all these struggles and questions throughout high school, what was the turning point for you?
Yeah, by the grace of God, I think the Holy Spirit kept pressing into me and brought me the desire to keep going to church during the college years. But during the pandemic, I know it's a very hard time for everyone. Like, it was hard for me too, because we were kind of like, I was living at home at the time, and I was literally isolated from society because I was just staying at home. And so that led me to desire to seek companions, seek friendship online. It was fun at first, but pretty soon it got pretty sour because people kind of act badly. And so, yeah, I got involved in some drama, ended up getting bullied. So it led me to reflect on the nature of people, how humanity, how men are fallen, how no one is good. Nobody is good on our own, even if we try to do everything we can to be good. For the Bible says, everyone has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And this is what Romans 3:23 says. And so, in the midst of all that, I turned to God and sought the source of all truth and goodness.
How would you say, like, college impacted your faith?
I'd say it was like a turning point in my faith, because not only was the church there good, or like the people were nice, but really it led me to draw close to Christ and to depend on Him.
You came back in 2024.
Yeah.
And after coming back to faith, and how would you say your life has been transformed throughout those years? And what does it look like for you today to follow Jesus?
Yeah, I'd say my life has been transformed greatly. I can't say that I'm always perfect or life is always the sunshine and rainbows, but I think my life has been transformed in that in everything. I try to follow God in everything I do. And also practically, since coming back to Home of Christ after I graduated college, I have been called to serve on the praise team, as well I made the choice to serve in the youth fellowship. And so I've been serving the church and to serving God's people.
It's been really wonderful to see, like, Victor actively serving on the worship team, also every week in the youth ministry. And it's such an encouragement. Victor, thank you for sharing just briefly about your faith, your journey. And it's really wonderful to see how God has led you after 24 years. You're still here, and you're faithfully serving, and you're investing into the next generation. Victor is actually currently our youth coordinator, so he coordinates a lot of the youth ministry events and liaising with different leaders. And he's been such a joy and privilege to work with. I would definitely say that out of all these years of ministry, in Chinese, they say it's very ke ka. It's very ke ka, the yin tong tong. And he's very reliable and trustworthy. And a lot of the youths really enjoy Victor's humor. They really enjoy his presence. So thank you, Victor. And continue to serve, continue to love the Lord Jesus. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Victor. We thank you that 24 years ago, you brought his family into the doorsteps of this church. We thank you for your faithfulness, and we've seen how you have worked in his life all throughout those high school years, asking those questions and experiencing you in college, and then now coming back to serve you in the church, in the place in which you have brought him, not only on worship team, but in every week in youth ministry. And so, Lord, we thank you for Victor. We ask that you bless him mightily, continue to mold and shape him into the image of your son. that Victor can continue to invest and lead the next generation following Jesus. Lord, we thank you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Victor. Thank you for that. Yeah, it really is a powerful testimony of, I really like what Victor shared, that God doesn't have grandparents. And it doesn't mean just because we come to church, faith is automatically ours. Each of us need to come to the point where we truly know Christ for ourselves. Next, we're going to hear from Yunsi. She's been worshiping with us, with her family, for over a year now. She took a break from church after having her first child, Theo. Her story comes from a very different background. She's actually South Korean. When I found out she was South Korean, I was very excited, asking about K-drama and all these things. But her background is actually shaped by a very highly academic environment and a long journey through suffering. And in fact, her testimony on YouTube is viewed in thousands. And it's a wonderful testimony. So today, we have the privilege to invite Yunsi to come and share with us what the Lord is doing. Let's pray. Yunsi, I know it's not easy being here. You left your son with your husband. You're probably really anxious whether he's changing the diapers right and all that stuff. But tell us a little bit about yourself. We welcome you to Hock One. How did you come about checking out our church and worshiping with us?
Yeah, so as Pastor Ben introduced me, I'm from Korea. I came to the United States in 2010 to study chemical engineering. I went to UC Berkeley, and after that I went to MIT for PhD program. I grew up in Christian family, but during college I started to drift away from God. I was on and off from church, and then I had like 10 years of chronic sickness that further distanced me from God. And then a few years ago I met Jesus. I completely got healed, and that's what brought me back. And since then I've been searching for churches to go to. I checked out a couple other churches. I honestly didn't hear much of people praying name of Jesus Christ in other church. And then when I came here, I really felt like home, because people are actually praising Jesus, and we're sticking to actual scriptures for every sermon. So I felt like, okay, this is the right place for me. And my husband, he's a Chinese-Japanese. He is not a believer yet. So I think God also brought me here, so he can eventually come here and he'll feel more home here as well. Yeah.
That's great. You mentioned that you have quite a rigorous academic background. You did your PhD at MIT. How did your scientific training shape the way you initially viewed faith in God?
Yeah, I would say the scientific training itself didn't impact me in terms of faith, but the environment I was in and school, academia, I think that's how that impacted me. So before I came to college, I went to Christian school. So I was surrounded by all the Christian people. And then when I started college, I met so many people from diverse backgrounds, people from Muslim family, Buddhist, Hindu, atheists, and also met homosexual people, trans people, that people I've never really thought about before. And then that actually got me thinking, maybe I'm Christian because I'm lucky I was just born in Christian family. How am I supposed to tell gospel to these people who grew up in different religious background, and they probably believe their God the way I do? I don't know how I can, how am I supposed to tell gay people? It's hey, it's wrong because Bible says wrong. I don't know how to convince them with words. And then, at that time I Bible says all this miracle can transform people, but I didn't experience that. I didn't have any encounter of people who experienced that. So I never thought that could be a way that gospel could be spread to people. And then also in college, I start to have so much fun drinking, partying, meeting guys. I didn't want to give up on it. Also, I was studying hard and I was sleep deprived. I was let me just skip church. And all this question about all these people are non-believers, they're good people. Are God really gonna like send them to hell because they don't know Jesus? Like that question just linger on me, and then whenever I go to church, that question just made me very uncomfortable. So that's why I start to distance myself from God.
In your testimony that you shared, you said you had 10 years of chronic sickness.
Mm-hmm.
I can't imagine what that would have felt like. What was that like for you in that season? And then knowing your parents' faith and Jesus has the power to save, like what was that like for you?
Yeah, so I started to get like unwell around the end of college, so around 2014. And then like I took a break before grad school. I just couldn't recover. Like I would say all the sickness I have is something all the doctors couldn't figure out. Like all the tests came out normal, but I was having pain all over my body, like all the time. I was to the point I was bedridden for several months. At some point, I had to take 2-year medical leave from my PhD. So it wasn't like, oh, I'm just unwell all the time. I was like really, really sick. Obviously, my parents were really heartbroken. They prayed for me. And then we searched for people who could pray for me while I was like taking medical leave in Korea. But it just miracle didn't happen. But now actually in retrospect, like after I actually got recovered, I know back then, I think even if I met God and God healed me, I don't think I was ready to let go of my worldly life, I'll be honest. And also I was very quick to give up. Like go to some pastor or pray for me, and then if nothing happened, I was like, nothing's gonna happen. Like instead of keep fighting off of it. So but honestly, through that 10 years of pain, I start to lose my faith in God, because things that are written in the Bible was not happening to me. Like Jesus is not healing me. And then if he's powerful and almighty, why is he making me sick? So I start to blame God for making me sick. I thought God is the one who's making me sick. And so I think around 2022 was when I start to develop this like new intense chronic lower back pain. It was really, really bad. Like I had pain all the time. Like there was no 1 second without pain. Walking, sleeping, like sitting down, standing was all really painful. I took so many MRI. I'm listing all this like medical thing I searched for to let you know like it's something that like current like medical knowledge cannot solve. Like I took 10 different MRIs. I went to psychiatrist too, thinking maybe it's like mental problem, but nothing could solve me. I went to so many orthopedic, I went to pain clinic, I went to neurologist. Actually, neurology pain medicine made my pain much worse. I was also all the physical therapies, chiropractic, all these things you can ever think of, they all made me worse. That to the point that all the therapists were super puzzled and they gave up on me. They said there's nothing they can do.
Experiencing all that must have been so tiring on you, your family. And then at the point of healing, like what changed? And how did that come about? Mm-hmm. And how did that change your perspective on the Christian life?
Yeah, so in 2024, around March, was when the neurological medicine actually triggered more flare up. And then I was to the point of intense pain to like excruciating pain. And I had to take a medical leave from my work. And I couldn't sleep more than 1 hour at a time because pain was waking me up all the time. I recently gave birth, and then I would say the back pain was much worse than the whole labor process. And then because all the doctors said there's nothing they can do, also pain medicine didn't work. The only thing they suggested is maybe opioid medicine might help. But I knew if I try opioid medicine and it will remove my pain, I knew I'll be addicted because I was in so much intense pain. That's why I didn't try opioid medicine. But then when my pain got really bad around April 2024, I thought about ending my life. I think I was really close to actually act up on it. And that's when I thought, okay, if I'm gonna end my life, let's do everything I can do before I die. So obviously all the modern medicine is not helping, so I have to, maybe something spiritual I have to ask for. So I called my parents, like, okay, because back then I kind of gave up on asking God. Like, I think I stopped asking God for help from 2018. And then in 2024, when the pain was that bad, I asked my parents, okay, I'm gonna try one last time. This time I'm really gonna try. Like, otherwise I'm gonna die. So please pray for me. Please look for anybody who's willing to pray for me. Like, I'm not working now, but I'm in pain all the time. I'm just willing to talk to anybody who's just wanna pray for me. So my dad started to pray for me every day. Then he went to this new Korean church that opened up that was doing 7-hour praying in tongue like twice a week. So he went there to pray for me, and the pastor asked what brings him here, and he explained and the situation, and the pastor, actually he himself was a non-believer whole life, and around 10 years ago he had all these conditions you can ever think of, like praying with like brain, heart, some of these like joints, liver failure. Like, he had like failure in very different like important organs. So he actually had 3 months to live, and that's when Jesus met him and he got recovered in 3 days. Actually, ever since then, he started to do lots of ministry about healing in Jesus' name. So in the church, like people with the like terminal stage cancer get recovered. Deaf people start to hear, like blind people start to see, like that kind of thing was happening in like Seoul, like where it's like high technology place. So he said he's willing to pray for me. I was like, okay. So we talk over the phone, and then we talk, and then he also prayed for me for an hour, and then he told me that Holy Spirit is telling him that I have a big understanding about God, and then he wants me to teach me Bible so I can have a correct understanding of God. And then so we decide to do Bible study twice a week over the phone, and then I was like, okay, I have so much time now, I will do anything that can lift my mind off the pain. And then after that first phone call, I hung up the phone, I realized my pain actually reduced to half. That was the first time ever that my back pain got better. Actually, with that, I still had doubt. I was like, is this coincidence? Like, is this real? Like, I don't know, but this is the only thing that helped me. So let's see what it goes. So even that, after experiencing some level of like a pain relief, I still couldn't fully believe. I had some doubt, but as I was doing Bible study, I had a correct understanding of God. That's when I learned that Jesus was not the one that was making me sick. I committed sins that opened my spiritual door for all the like evil spirit to come in play and then like torment me. I was so close to ending my life. I was so close to going to hell. God wouldn't want that. So that's when I start to realize it was my fault. I shouldn't have blamed God. It was my fault, and I gave up too quickly on him, and I wasn't ready to let go of my life. But this time I was like, okay, I can do everything. I can give up everything. I'll do whatever God wants me to do. Please help me.
Thank you for being so vulnerable and being so authentic and sharing that experience. From God coming to heal you through prayer, the power of prayer, and then transforming your understanding of God. I was just reflecting that in you said in April, around April 2024, that you considered taking your life. Now we're in 2026, we're about to enter into April, it's been 2 years.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord.
I had a baby, and you know, like,
yeah.
Even like during the pregnancy, I didn't have much of a back pain problem. After giving birth, like, so much better than before.
Like. Wow. All glory to God for what he's doing. And, you know, for any of us who may be skeptical or still searching, especially from academic or scientific backgrounds, what would you want them to understand about what you encountered with Jesus?
Mm-hmm. So I want to emphasize that spiritual world is real, because when I first called my Korean pastor, that was around May of 2024. I think the time I was able to return to work was around July 2024. So it took me 2 months to experience like enough healing to the point to be returning to work. During that time, I actually experienced a spiritual attack. Like as I was gradually like experiencing healing, I also experiencing spiritual thing. Like for example, I would say when I open Bible, I start to have like intense body ache everywhere. As soon as I close it, it goes away. Like something was trying to prevent me from reading Bible. Same thing, if I enter church, I start to have body ache. It was so painful if I leave church, like the pain goes away. When I was praying, I would see ghosts threatening me to not pray. I was having nightmare. I was hearing things tell me, hey, there's some drug, you can chug it all and you can maybe end your life, then your pain will go away. Like I experienced all sorts of things. So this time that made me realize, oh my God, it's like this is why I was sick. I thought I was sick for some unknown cause. I was actually sick because it was spiritual like attack. So then this time I read Bibles a lot. I was praying for hours in tongues. And the very important thing was understanding the power of name of Jesus Christ. I kept in my prayer, I kept saying in the name of Jesus Christ, like I chased away all the evil spirit that's making me sick. So it was like months of fight, and then even after I returned to work, the fight continued. I think the time when I felt really better was like maybe like a year later was when I felt like finally kind of chased away what was tormenting me. So people, message to people who are skeptical about this. I understand, I was skeptical. I think I wouldn't have returned to God this way if I didn't experience it myself. And then many people say, show me the evidence, then I'll believe. How do I show a spiritual world to them? They have to experience it themselves. I would say, like, my husband who witnessed everything together, he still doesn't believe because he himself didn't experience it. I don't think it's necessarily because he just born that way. I actually think everything is spiritual battle. Actually, Bible says, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12 to 13 says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of the world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." This is exactly what I experienced when I try to return to God. And then I think the same thing, like if I try to convince my husband to believe God, I actually have to fight this battle, like whatever, like this wickedness, try to like shut his mind off to like not believing what I'm saying. So I actually don't think I can convince like all these people by words. I cannot convince them from logic. But I will say I can convince them if I'm full with spiritual power, like in Holy Spirit, and if Holy Spirit guides me and put me correct words in the right timing, I think that's how I can convince them. For some people, they actually have to experience miracles like I did to be able to come back, and I don't think that can happen without prayer. So I say, if you're skeptical but want to see the evidence, keep praying to God, He will show you. But don't give up like I did, because there's also work against you to try to stop you from getting close to God. So you have to keep fighting. Always call the name of Jesus Christ, because He is the Savior and there's actual power in His name. Everything in the Bible is real. How I know is because I experienced it. I hope everybody experienced the same thing. Yeah.
Wow, thank you, Yunsi, for that genuine sharing and just seeing how God has worked in your life. Let me pray for you and we'll wrap up the conversation. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for Yunsi. We thank you that, Lord, you have led her this far. You continue to lead her. You continue to shape and mold her into the image of your son, Jesus. That in her years of pain, in those moments of darkness, Lord, you never left her. But Lord, you have reached her and you have poured out your grace and mercy upon her life. And you have allowed her to experience mighty healing. And Lord, we are so thankful that 2 years on, after that darkest moment, Lord, you are the one who saves. You are the one who brings new life. You are the one who brings your children back home. And so, Lord, we thank you for Yunsi. We thank you for the power of Jesus' name, the power of your spirit to lead her, that she's able to publicly declare and testify of your goodness. Lord, we thank you. We ask that you continue to use her mightily in your kingdom through her testimony. And Lord, we ask that you bless her son Theo and you continue to guide her husband Yukio so that one day he will also come to know the Lord Jesus. Lord, we thank you. We pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. 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 Yeah. If any of you are interested in listening to her detailed YouTube testimony, please speak to her after the service. Thank you, Yunsi. Now, our last testimony comes from Sister Tina. Her story actually reflects the weight of life that we all have. Responsibilities, pressure, parenting, and the feeling that we have so often, which is to hold everything together. But by the grace of God, she's here sharing with us. And on top of that, next week, she's getting baptized. So praise the Lord. Let's invite Sister Tina up. Now, Sister Tina has also recently joined our church, and it's been a joy to get to know her personally through our baptism classes. Tina, tell us a little bit about yourself. Can you share what your life was like before coming to church? And especially during a difficult season that you had last year in 2025.
Hi, everybody. I'm Tina. I'm a mom of two sons and aunt to two nephews. One of them lives with me now, Derek. Some of you may already know. Yeah. I came to U.S. in 2001. And back then, I have no idea how the life here will look like. But I was sure of one thing. I want to build a life, a future for my family. And over years, I had kids and started working in the Bay Area. And but the life is moving forward, but at the same time, the pressure also kept building. And from outside, everything looks fine. But inside, I feel I'm like a fish out of water. Keep trying to breathe, however, running out of air. Yeah. And it is 2000, last year, the pressure. It's the most difficult time of my life. And it's the night, August night. I had a painful and a long conversation with Derek. And after sitting in silence for a while, we both decided don't make any decision and come to church next day.
You really sum up how many of us feel in the Bay Area, the burdens of the finances, of parenting, of work. What led you to that point? I think you mentioned you were talking to Derek and then you decided to go into church. How did you find out about our church? And like, what made you take that step forward?
Last year, actually, from May to August, the whole family will only focus on one thing, finding Derek and bring him home. Yeah, and then we try to think of all the people that could be have a connection with him, and try to, we are like building up a map, and piece by piece, and try to find out a line can connect back to him. And we even called the cop twice, just want to make sure he's still alive. And we every day when we wake up during the week, during work, after work, on the late in the night, we keep on messaging him, just hoping he could reply. And if we got some more information, many times we draw ourselves outside, even search the park, and try to find him. But one time we found a homeless man, but not Derek. And really thank God's mercy, we finally found him. And, I won't forget that moment when we called him, walk outside the hotel. In the end, we brought him more. His God brought him back to the
Derek is one of our young adults at our church, and thank you for sharing that. I can't imagine the weight that you would have felt, like losing your nephew and not knowing where he was.
Yeah.
Imagine picking up that call from your sister. It's like, where's my son?
Yeah. And as I can see, there's a really a battle happening inside him. He's filled with pain. Anger and giving up. So as parents, you saw the life slipping away from a young man. It breaks your heart. And you can do nothing to stop it. So it's glad both him and I, at that moment, we think we decided we don't make a decision.
Yeah.
We come to church. And it's that Sunday, it's August 10th, that Sunday morning, when I walk into church, I feel so weak. I like a woman. I used up all my strength just to hold a tiny flame of hope to my child. Yeah. So when I come in, I hear the worship songs. And at that moment, the tears just come. I didn't plan it, but I just couldn't stop it. And at the moment, I believe Derek felt the same thing. And at the moment, you feel all the suffering was seen and be understood.
Yeah, I remember that first time you came to church, and then in the days in the fall, like afterwards, you were asking, what were the songs? All the hymns that were being sung and the worship songs and the power of worship and bring you home. And then those emotions, that just comes so naturally when we're in the presence of God. And as you continued attending church, attending your life group, how did your understanding of God begin to shift and change?
After that day, we still didn't know the answers. But I realized I'm not alone. And I also saw the lights lighting up around us. That's the people, the community, and the hope. And so we keep coming back week to week. And to the Sunday service, also the fellowship. And from then, things gradually changed. And Derek prepared for interviews. He received offers. And he started his job in the U.S. I see the doors open that I tried and failed to do by my own. Yeah. And I really appreciate my fellowship. The people share with me their stories, and we learn the Bible together. And it's from there I really know the Jesus. Mm-hmm. It's not just a belief, but it's like a desire from my heart to follow him. Mm-hmm. And through this whole process, there's from my heart, there's always a voice saying, just keep walking. Yeah. And you and Derek will find a way.
It's wonderful to see that even though your husband is not a believer, he's willing to come to fellowship with you every week.
Thank God.
I believe that's through your testimony and through the way you're living life. And next week, you're getting baptized, and it's wonderful, it's so special. What led up to the point where you wanted to get baptized, and how are you feeling about your baptism next week?
Before I know Jesus, I feel I had to control everything. It's not because I want power. It's just because I'm the first generation of immigrants. So I feel I cannot afford a failure. I feel I'm responsible for everything. However, the harder I try, the more things slip away. And it's with the learning of Jesus, I gradually learned to open my eyes. Yeah. And to light the things the way that God created to the husband. Be a husband, a wife as a wife, a parent as a parent, and a child as a child. To decide to practice, to me, it's my choosing, the life, the value I want to live by. It's feel like when I born, you cannot choose your parents. But this time it's a reborn, and you can decide, brothers, sisters, and the family, the community, you to walk like this. And not alone, it's together to follow Jesus.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Yeah. I didn't tell Derek this, but Derek, is it okay if I invite you up? Yeah. Just I know it's a bit last minute, but I just really want to showcase the power of the gospel. This, my friends, is the power of the gospel. Last year, Derek was lost. He was homeless. Yeah. His auntie spent hours, weeks looking for him. But this is the power of the gospel. Next week, Sister Tina is getting baptized. Derek's here, part of our community. And this, my friends, is what Jesus is all about. So let's pray for them. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for Brother Derek, Sister Tina. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness. That Lord, despite their pain, their struggles, you have brought them to this church. Lord, you are so faithful. You are so good. Lord, we can't help but keep our eyes focused on Jesus this morning. Lord, you have saved them. You have brought them here home. And Lord, we ask that you continue to work in Sister Tina's life, continue to work in Brother Derek's life, that one day, Lord, that they will continue to follow your path, continue to follow the ways of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for the power of the gospel, that it is the power to save and to give salvation. So Lord, we thank you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is my aunt. I'm Derek, everyone. And I know she's been really nervous about this testimony for maybe like a week or two now. She's been kind of like sneaking up on me and asking like, hey, you mind, she'll start saying something like, hey, can you check this? And then she stopped herself. She's like, wait, I wanted to be a surprise. So this kind of all really caught me off guard. That was very beautifully written and said. you mentioned that like God brought me home. I truly believe that like God worked through you to bring me home. Like, cause I mean, you have to take some credit as well. All glory to God, but also like glory to her as well. Cause I was really in a very dark place. And yeah, like my aunt just fully, her effort of like calling the cops, calling all my friends, calling like anyone I could possibly know to just try to get me home. Yeah, like, no, so.
It's gone.
Okay, okay. But yeah, thank you so much. Yeah.
Wow, what powerful stories that we heard this morning. Different backgrounds, different struggles, different journeys. But at the end of the day, the same God. The same God who meets us in our doubts, the same God who meets us in our struggles, the same God who meets us in our everyday lives. And at the center of this whole story is Jesus, the one who calls us, the one who saves us, the one who brings us back home. So if today you're still searching and you're still thinking through these things and questions, you're not here by accident. I really do believe that God in his knowledge has brought you here to church this morning. And our prayer is that you don't just hear these testimonies, but you take them to heart, and that one day you also come to know Jesus personally. So again, let's give a round of applause to three of our Gospel Sunday. On that note, I just want to mention like two of them have just recently joined our church, so praise the Lord for bringing more and more members to our church. I also want to mention, we have new members that have also joined our church. So Austin and Stacy, they've been just joined our church for just under a year now. So let's welcome them up. So they also recently joined our church as well. So this is for you, certificate, and this is for you. Thank you. All right, let's look at the prayer. All right, let's finish off with a response song. One of my favorite worship songs is actually Amazing Grace. And I think Amazing Grace really sums up what we heard today. So let's stand, let's respond in worship.